Welcome to season two of the LNS District. We're so glad you are joining us today. We are your hosts, Lillian and Sharon, and together we are the LNS District. We're representing the community of international students and immigrant professionals. We're here to share our thought-provoking experiences, the experiences of guests, and topics that will help you navigate and adjust to this new life and mindset on your global student journey. So, step into the LNS District community.
So do you think like the rich immigrant like platform, do you think it started from like your degree in like finances and stuff like that?
It had nothing to do with my degree. So yes, I'm a CPA and all this stuff. It has, I think a degree in finance or accounting does not make you qualified to talk about personal finance. I think you can study music or anything, whatever is furthest away, zoology, and be great at personal finance. It's really how you manage your money. I think, yes, of course, I read financial statements and it's easy for me. I know what to look for because I do that in my daily life. But I think anybody's qualified so long as they've walked a path and they have lessons to share. I think your field does not really matter. But yes, there are some benefits to having studied accounting and finance in that. Yes, I can talk about, you know, business structures and all that stuff. I can read a financial statement pretty easily. But anybody, the key things anybody can acquire, you need no financial background to be financially, you know, literate and aware.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so let's go a little bit deeper. So okay. Two things, savings, budgeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, you know, even as a past international student, I know, like, those were areas, like, I struggled with. Because I remember just, like, getting my first apartment and I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to write all these bills and then groceries, like, $40. all of that stuff. And then, like, 2 months after, I'm like, oh, my God. I just spent money buying, like, coffee or something. I ate lunch in school. Like, I didn't make, you know, all of those things. So, you know, can you explain, especially to like the international students, like what should they know? Because especially like coming here, it's like sometimes in like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, in the first few weeks you're like, I want to buy that. Okay, I don't really have money, that's okay, this is very new for me, it's gonna fill me up, you know, things like that. So like, what should international students like know, like in terms of saving and in terms of like budgeting as well?
Yeah. So I'll start with budgeting and then I'll get into saving. I did not have any money to save, but I'll talk about saving at the beginning. But budgeting, I honestly did not really have a budget that I followed until I was in graduate school. While I was in undergrad, I knew what my rent was. I was making $8 per hour in the school, working at the cafeteria. So I was just barely making it to pay my rent and buy my books. And sometimes, hey, and then they gave me a credit card. That was a bad idea, you know, and then I used my credit card. So I would say, don't do what I did, right? It also depends on, I don't know, I feel like when you're a student, your resources are limited, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's when you probably should be on a strict budget, right? But I know that I did not always follow that advice. So I don't want to lie and act like I did. But I would say, one, if you're going to get a credit card, if you can avoid getting a credit card, do so. Or if you can have one and be disciplined in how you use it, right? Because I think many times people get into the pit hole of, you know, credit card debt and maxing out balances and ruining their credit, you know, in the college years. So I would say be very careful. And it's like you're coming from, maybe at least I was coming from Nigeria where there's no credit card. And so somebody's giving me all this money. It's like $300 limit at first, and then they upped it to $800. And many times I use it on necessities, right? Because yes, I want to, you know, hold space to say not everybody is able to comfortably afford the educational expenses. And so I was one of those where sometimes I had to put my groceries on my credit card because that's how I could buy food. And so if that's you, I hear you. I've been there, right? But one thing I always did, at least I made the minimum payment. So I never went, you know, I never had late payment and all that stuff. So I would say, one, with credit, if you don't need it, you know, you could get one to start building your credit, but please make sure you're disciplined. If you don't trust yourself with discipline, then maybe hold out until maybe you're close to graduating or something when you're more mature with on your journey. Second thing is, if your income is limited, your expenses should also be limited. You know, don't go crazy. I know my first few weeks in America, I was converting everything to Naira, and that actually helped me not spend money because I was like, that's so much money. You know, I went and bought I went and bought some secondhand clothes because that's what I could afford. I mean, I had limited cash. And so I'd say, don't, you know, and many times people come with like, oh, one semester's worth of school fees in cash. Don't blow it because you're going to need that money down the line. That's your parents, you know, life savings that they've put in you, literally. So don't blow it. And if you're also positioned to like have a job on campus and all that stuff, you know, please. And if you're able, if you want that, maybe you have a full scholarship and you're working and you actually have cash, please start saving. Even if it's like $100 a month, $200 a month, please start building the habit of saving, because I think the habits that you build now are what will stick with you even as you advance. You just grow into those habits further. You don't really change, I don't think, unless you know you have a life come to Jesus moment and then you change. I don't think that people really do. That's what I'll say for students. Be careful about credit. Be disciplined with it. If you can't be disciplined, please avoid it. And yes, when your resources are limited, please also match your expenses to your income. But if you're positioned to be able to save, you are in a much better place than 99% of students, and that's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, wow, that's really good. And then what about like savings? I know like, so I want to ask a quick question. So I know like international students can have access to like student bank accounts in most banks.
Yeah.
So would you recommend they also open like a savings account?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, if you can. I mean, once you get your social security and all that stuff, you can get like a high yield savings account. I mean, I wish I had my high yield savings account earlier on, because it would kind of take my away from my checking account, but I didn't open one till I was maybe like till I graduated. So I would say open a high yield savings account and put your money there. I mean, interest rates are record level low right now, but at least for me, that's separation. I know that if I want to withdraw money from my high yield savings account, if I want to transfer, it takes like a couple of days, like 3 days. So it also helps me with that discipline. Yes. So I would say, yes, open a high yield savings account if you can. If you're able to save, please, please, please do that.
What is a high yield savings account?
So like, it's a, yeah, good question. I just, again, I assume everybody knows these things. So you think about your traditional brick and mortar bank, like Bank of America, where you can go to a branch and all that stuff. High yield savings accounts are typically like online banks. So like Ally Bank, Capital One Bank, Marcus by Goldman Sachs. So because these banks don't have the cost of operating a physical banking location, right? And so they don't pass those costs down to the customers. They're able to provide better, much better interest rates than your traditional brick and mortar bank would have. And so that's the benefit. When I opened Capital One, oh my God, they were giving you like $20 bonus to open. And then the interest rates were like 10 times better than what the regular banks do. And they still, even though rates are low, they still do offer, I mean, there's some banks you put $5,000, you get like 3 cents in like a year, you know? Yeah. And on the others, you can get like, you know, $20 in a year or something. So big difference. So a high yield savings account, definitely. Where you should put in your savings, your emergency funds, and all of that.
Wow, beautiful. I hope you guys are taking notes, because no, honestly, because when I first moved, like it took a while for me to like learn some of these things, like and then there's this thing of like where there's so much like financial information. So like
yes,
this person is saying this thing, this one person saying don't get credit cards, one person saying get credit cards, one person is like you know saying don't have a savings, you know. So like, honestly speaking, this is even geared, you know, as someone, as you have been an international student before, and like, we get to like really translate the information so that as someone who's like coming in or like about to graduate or an immigrant professional, this is like geared towards us as well.
Because
also it's not all like every financial option that's available to us as well. If you're like on a visa or something like that. So
yeah.
Take notes, honestly.
Yes.
Where like should we start from in terms of investing? And you know, for I know some international students may be scared, like I don't know, does this apply, like I'm on like a visa, like does that, like if I invest now, like what does that mean after, like you know, what does that mean for my taxes or things like that? But where can like someone who's like a beginner know like
start
from?
Yeah. And so, you know, we're just talking offline for a minute, but I think that I think more people are investing right now, and I think that's amazing. But I also know that more people are investing without knowing what they're doing, and that's alarming. So I feel like two kind of ways about it. So I would say the first thing to do, I would say the easiest way to start investing is through your retirement accounts. So your 401k or your IRA. If you're already putting money there, you're an investor. And so I think maybe we may make investing to seem like this. And I think maybe I also did at some point sound like this far away thing, this far-fetched thing that's only available to, you know, the super smart, the finance experts or the super rich or something like that. And actually, no, you and I can invest. But I would say, you know, make sure you understand, you know, I would say the best advice I got is, you know, don't invest in anything that you don't understand. Like if you can explain it in layman's terms to your grandma for her to understand what the thing it is you're investing in, then you don't understand it enough to invest in it. And so that to me has really been great advice for me, right? And it's not just to follow the hype, right? Mm-hmm. And so Bitcoin has had a great run and it might have a great run in the future, you know, and I think that's great. But I think many people get into Bitcoin and GameStop just because everybody says that's the hottest thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Bitcoin can be a great part of your overall strategy, but it should not be your only strategy. But for some people, that's the only thing they've gotten into and they don't even know why they're getting into it. So back to your question, I would say the easy way to start, right, is, you know, with your 401k and with your IRA, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're going, you start a job, right? And your HR, you're filling out all the forms and your company has a 401k and they have a match, at least contribute the minimum to get your company's match. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what should you select to put your fund in? The easiest thing to do, and that hasn't failed anyone, is to put in an index fund that matches your retirement, you know, the year you're going to retire. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, index funds, you know, match the market and they've done well over time. And so my retirement funds are in an index fund, both my Roth IRA and my 401k. And they've grown over the last 10 years that I've been working. So I would say those are like my, that's my, it's not safe like a bond. There's still risk, but it's not like, you know, putting all my retirement in one stock or put all my retirement in Bitcoin. You know, I wouldn't recommend that. So I would say starting, you know, start with a retirement account. So if you're working as a student and you have access, you do have access to a Roth IRA. Once you have a Social Security, you can open a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put your money in that. However, if you don't believe you're going to be in the US long term, or if you believe you're going to need the money before retirement, then don't put it in a retirement account. Right. So you can open a brokerage account. So long as you have a visa and you're, you know, you can open a brokerage account. I think even if you don't have papers, there are ways to, that you could invest. I'm not an expert on that, but I know that there are ways. So depending on what your outlook is. So yeah. If you definitely plan to not need the money until retirement, then I would say put it in a retirement account. Mm-hmm. If you plan to need the money, you know, in 2 to 3 years or so, then maybe a brokerage account is for you, right? Or putting your money in the CD or something of the sort. I think at the core of knowing what to invest in, you've got to decide what are your ultimate goals? What do you want out of it? Are you saving for a down payment in 2 years? If you're doing for something that you need in 2 years, I would say don't put it in any risky investments, right? Because the market can go up and down. So what are your overall goals? And then you need to, and what's your risk appetite? Because there are people that if the market goes up today, they're scared. If it goes down tomorrow, they can't sleep. And so if you're like that, you don't need to be in the stock market. But unfortunately, just saving cash is not going to get you wealth. So you're going to have to work through that. But there are people that cannot, you know, deal with the highs and lows. And you've got to be in it for the long haul. If you're here there for short term, that's trading. And that is a full-time job. Right. But if you're there trying to start with your 401k, start with your IRA, put your money in an index fund, a target date index fund. Those are what they're called. That you just, and your companies, many companies, 401ks are set up or IRAs to kind of guide you through that. Put in an index fund that's matched to your retirement year. Right. And so that way, that's a safer one, easier one. That's a lazy person's way to invest. I call myself a lazy investor. I am building a $1 million portfolio, but I'm not going to kill myself in doing it, right? I'm going to take paced, measured steps, but I will build $1 million and beyond portfolio. The other thing I'll say is, if you're on a visa, you can open an investment account. There's no restrictions there as long as your visa is valid. And yeah, I don't know the details of if you don't have, but I know there are ways. There's another aspect to your question. If you want to go beyond that, right? So I did my 401k to meet the match, did my IRA, maxed out the IRA, and then I went back to increase my 401k percentage to like max the 401k percentage. And then if you still have funds to do, if you still want to do more, then you can open a brokerage account, right? And so you can invest in, you know, if you want to invest in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency, or if you want to invest in individual stocks or additional mutual funds or ETFs, you can do that through a brokerage account. Or you can invest in real estate, or you can invest in art. I mean, the world is your oyster. But I would say, start simple. don't start, I mean, many people are starting and going straight to options. It's like going from elementary school to PhD, skipping high school, skipping college. Don't skip the steps, right? Pace yourself and learn as you go.
Okay. Disclaimer, we're not legal advisors or representatives. We expect you to check for updates through the USCIS website as an international student or immigrant professional. Contact your international office as needed.
I love that. I just wanted to go back to something you touched on. You mentioned credit cards and like the downside of it, but what's the upside of a credit card? Because I don't, like, I feel like there's a benefit because you can't not have a credit card and build credits and all that. Can you share
that? Yeah. So I think one of the ways the credit card helps you is in building your credit, for one, right? Two, it's I pay more of my transactions with my credit card. I'll pay like maybe my housing with cash or whatever. But aside from that, it's just for me, I like my credit card is kind of is insured essentially in a way, in that I have an Amex credit card, and if there's an unauthorized purchase, I call them, they reverse it and all of that. So I feel like my purchases are protected in that way to some extent. But travel, I get travel points with my Amex Delta credit card. So, you know, I travel quite a bit. And so I get the miles. I'm responsible with it. I pay it off every month. And so I use it to my benefits. So I would say, yes, one, it is, you know, it is building your credit. Two, you know, you can get points or rewards, however you want to use that, right? And then three, I mean, I think you can also use, it's one, not just a credit card, I guess. No, I won't go into this. That's a whole other thing of like, can I help in someone else build their credit? But it's not really linked. If you have someone in your, maybe if there's any parent that wants to help their child build their credit or something of the sort, or someone that's really trying to help their friend and you know you can trust this person, you could add somebody on your credit card that doesn't have good credit, and you can add them as an additional user. And if you have good credit, they get to benefit from your good credit and it helps them build their credit. So there's that. I only recommend doing that with people that you trust and people that you know will not take your card and swipe it up and down, you know. Yeah, so there is that benefit. You can use it to help others. And then, yes, I mean, short term, when I'm buying a flight ticket, you know, I'll buy the ticket and then I won't pay it off until my bill comes, right? I'll pay when my credit card bill comes. I pay no interest and all that stuff. But short term, I have pretty large credit limits, I can do that and then, you know, pay it off, you know, maybe a few weeks later when the bill comes out. So, yeah, it's how you use it, really. Anything else, it's how you use it.
Okay. And on one of your episodes on the Rich Immigrant podcast, you talked about a financial vision board.
Yes.
Can you talk a bit about what that is and how I can do mine?
Yes. And I actually wrote I wrote a blog post about it. Did I write a blog post about it? Maybe I just did a podcast episode. And so it's just like how we have vision boards for our lives, right? So many times, either at the beginning of the year, or really you can build a vision board anytime. Anytime you decide to kind of, you know, paint the picture, you can build a vision board. So a financial vision board is just a visual depiction of your goals, of your financial goals. And it can be a one-year thing. It can be a 10-year thing, right? And so it's just really think about a life vision board, just the money side of it, right? So what do you want? It's, you know, depicting your financial goals or the life that you want. And for me, it looks more like this is the life that I'm building. It's not even about, okay, I mean, yes, maybe it has, you know, buying a home in another country and all of that. But for me, it is, what do I want to, what am I building towards? What do I want that to look like? And then that helps me, once I have the picture, then I can break it down into like, what goals do I need to then set so I can get to this place, you know, if it's, whether it's a year long or in 5 years or in 10 years. So it's taking the financial vision you have for your life and making it plain, right? Making it plain.
Yeah. Wow. So if someone who doesn't have like a plan in mind, or like, or let's just say, I want to buy a house. What's the first thing that should go on my vision board?
Okay, so if you want to buy a house, right? Yeah. Let's say you have like, you know, 5 years or 10 years to do that. I'll say there are a couple of goals you should have around that. So one should be around your credit score, right? Trying to get your credit score to be, you know, 700 or above, or 740 or above if you can. Yeah. The other one is about, you know, a down payment, right? Yeah. making sure you get a down payment. If you're trying to get that 20%, that's best case scenario, trying to get a 20% down payment, and breaking that, even that each goal then can then be further broken down to different phases, right? So for example, if you want to, you know, improve your credit, so what are you going to do? I would say a house goal is one should be set at least a year in advance, especially if you need to improve your credit and mm-hmm. save money. I mean, sometimes saving money takes a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. So making sure you're kind of looking more long term, making sure you have a long term view, and then breaking them down into shorter term things. So mm-hmm. like the house, credit, you know, improving credit if that's what needs to be done, or at least checking your credit is the step one, right? To say where do I stand today, and what kind of credit do I want to have so I can get the best interest rates, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you know you have, okay, I need 20 points to gain, okay, here's what I'm going to do over the next year to try and do that. Mm-hmm. And then if another goal is about, you know, getting to your down payment, okay, if you need $20,000, you know, then how much can you save each month for you to get there? And that can help you kind of see, okay, how much time do I have? And then another one can be, okay, you know, identifying what kind of house you actually want to buy, you know, mm-hmm. because identifying the kind of house you want to buy in the area will give you a kind of a home budget, and that would inform your type of down payment that you need. Mm-hmm. And so these are just some examples, but those are off the cuff. Say, okay, if I'm trying to buy a house, I need to know what kind of house, what's my maximum, right? Mm-hmm. And not go, don't be house poor, or don't take all the amount that they'll give you. What's mm-hmm. the maximum that I'm willing to take as a loan? What kind of down payment do I need? What do I need my credit to be before I'm able to, you know, buy the house and all of that?
Wow, that's really good. So guys, it's not just New Year vision boards.
I know, I love
you know,
that.
Include your financial vision board so that you can also stay on track as well. Because, you know, I
right.
have a goal that I want to like lose 20 pounds this year. I want to like read 50 books.
Yeah,
your financial vision board too, so that
set the goals
exactly. Yeah.
And I think for me, and when I think about this, I hope that our goals are not, you know, if you're looking at the long term vision, I hope your vision is not just to own a mansion. I hope that it's something that's bigger than you. I hope that it's more than okay. When people tell me, okay, I want, you know, financial freedom, I want to be able to be generous, I want to create generational wealth, I want to impact my community, mm-hmm. I want to just live I want to live my best life, mm-hmm. but also be my best in my community and be able to have the resources to do that. Mm-hmm. Or for me, one of the things I say, I'm chasing financial freedom to be work optional and to be also impactful in my community. So those to me, are kind of more, they're beyond the short term, because I think a house is a great goal and it's a short term thing, but just making sure you have it starts with that grand picture that you have for your life. I see myself retired at 50. I'm not trying to work my whole life, right? I want to retire at 50 max, but really ideally like 45, you know? And so for me, if I know that's the goal, right? And I want to be able to afford vacations, I want to be generous in my community, I want to support my family. So what decisions am I making now to get me to where I need to be? And I think that leads me to a point that I do like to make, is that in the near term, I don't believe in depriving yourself. Like, you know, there are people that are like super crazy about the money and retirement, that they would live on rice and beans and nothing else. I'm not about that life, right? So I think you can be disciplined without depriving yourself.
Yeah.
And so I would say the decisions that I made, the things that I did, you know, in my first 5 years of working, getting out of debt and saving and investing, that allowed me to do other things now. And so when I think, and so I've seen that, you know, like I went to the UK and I took a pay cut. People don't even expect that, but the pay in the UK is quite crap, in my opinion, in my field. But I was able to, I could afford to do that because I had no debt and I had invested for a few years, and I could afford to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take a pay cut for a couple of years, right? Yeah. And so think about what kind of life do you want, and what decisions are you making so that you can afford your life in the future? That's what I think about.
Wow, I love that. I'll take notes of that. I want to kind of like discuss briefly your other passion, which is traveling.
Yes,
but I have a Ghanaian passport, and I'm sorry, mm-hmm. it cannot take me everywhere easily. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I think you wrote, I don't know if it's a blog post or an episode or you posted on your Instagram, but what advice do you have for people like me who would love to travel but are always kind of like disheartened because of the, you know, visa application, this, that, like, how can you easily travel?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's no two ways about it, right? I mean, I have a Nigerian passport. I still have a Nigerian passport. And so I consider myself a professional visa applicant, right? I mean, like I always have, I like my passport stuff is in my head. If you ask me for it at any time, wake me up, I know passport number, everything, expiration date, I know it, you know? Yeah. And so I think that there's some things in life that are not fair. And how people judge who, what people from what countries can go to what places, I don't think it's fair. I think it's another, the passport privilege is a thing. And so I always wanted to see the world. And I didn't know many people like me that were doing it. And so my first year as an associate, I said, I couldn't afford to go anywhere in college. I was already in America. That's abroad enough. So I decided, you know, I was going to do it. And it was, I literally would write lists of places I wanted to go when I was in college. And then I graduated and I said, I'm going to do this thing. And nobody was doing it. And I went by myself on my first trip and I almost didn't go because my friend had to cancel because visa issues. But I got that Schengen visa. They gave me for the exact 20 to 16 days I was going. It comes with the territory. And then I went, I got a backpack and I went to Greece and Turkey and, never looked back. And now 56 countries and counting on a Nigerian passport. Wow. I think don't let them tell you that it's not possible.
Yeah,
you know, I think that it is. And I started a travel blog because I didn't see enough Black people or people from countries with restricted passports traveling. And I wanted to show that, you know what, it's not easy. Have I been denied visas? Yes, it can be very humbling and also very painful and annoying. Again, I look at the person that I am and the opportunities that I've come my way. And, you know, I even met one of my best friends now. We met in 2017 because I went to South Africa by myself and she DM'd me and like, we are like best friends. And this is just one of like, you know, hundreds of just benefits and blessings from that. And so I would say, I hear you in that my sister's an American citizen, but before, when she was on her green card, she refused to travel because she wasn't about the stress. So I understand if you're not about the stress, that's fine. But if you truly want to do something, go for it, right? If you have get your papers together, apply for the visas. After a while, you know, you just give them what they ask for. And 9 times out of 10, you will get the visa. India is a whole nother story. And some other countries, a whole nother story. But generally, I want, because I think growing up, like in Nigeria, which vacation are you going? Where are you going to? What life are you taking vacation from? Where is the money? What money are you looking for? Yeah. On my first trip, I told my parents, I'm going to Greece and Turkey. They're like, who do we know there? You know, and we know nobody there. But I saw something about, I used to watch travel shows. That's how I used to dream about traveling. So I think if you're not able to travel right now, there's so much information. There's Instagram, there's blogs, there's podcasts, there's TV shows. That's what I binged on when I couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go. And so I went and look at where we are now.
Wow.
So yes, but to answer one more thing, you know, I have a separate travel bank account. Like every month, whether I'm going anywhere or not, I put money aside in my travel savings. I said with just $50 a month was what I started with. That's what I could afford. But every month, it's automatic. It goes to my travel bank account. And so with COVID, we didn't go anywhere. There was still money going to that account. So it's building. And so for me, it's guilt-free spending because that's the purpose. Because I know that if I put it in my regular savings, I'll feel kind of bad taking it out. So early on, the day I started my job, I opened a travel savings account and that's what funds my travels.
Wow, that's really good.
So to wrap up this amazing conversation, what advice do you have for international students, global students who are starting out on their financial journey or even those who are currently in debt and feel like it's too late, you know, to kind of sort out their finances? Like, what advice would you give to all of us?
It's not too late. You know, I mean, I think that the best day to start investing was yesterday. The next best day is today. And so I would say the fact that you're listening and you're thinking, oh man, what can I do? I want to tell you, you know, that if you start today, you look back a year from now and you look at your journey and you will see the slow progress. So I didn't see my net worth growing, you know, crazy amounts year by year. But when I turn back and look, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at how far I've come. And so I would say, you know, I think it's easy to say, oh, here's where I hope to have been, or here's where my mates are and all that stuff. And we are all on different journeys. Remember, I've had many setbacks. So for example, I'll give you the example. I graduated with no job. First, I took 5 years to graduate from undergrad because I took a 6-month internship to help pay my tuition. So I did that. That delayed me by a semester. And then I graduated with no job. And so I took a 1 year of wasted OPT, another year of wasted master's. And then I started working. And because I could say, oh man, I'm 2 years behind where I should be. Or I could say I'm exactly where I need to be. Mm-hmm. And the experiences that I've had have positioned me and have put me and have gifted me to pour into my community in the way that I am today. And so, yes, debt can feel overwhelming. But I think just start and write down where you are and start with a simple plan. Even if it's $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month, you will see the results down the line. And so don't be discouraged. There's so many resources available to you. Please tap into them and just be better tomorrow than you are today. If you're better each day than you were the previous day, you're well on your way.
Wow, that's really great. So how can people like reach you or like get in contact with you?
Yes.
Listen to more of you and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm here for you. I'm here for our community. TheRichImmigrant.com is the blog and website where I put just blog posts and all that stuff. I write a bit about my journey there. The Rich Immigrant podcast is everywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Listen Notes, Spotify, everywhere. Amazon now has podcasts. It's there too. So listen to the podcast. I try to make it, you know, break it down and make it relatable. And finishing up the second season and the third season is coming up next month. So I'm excited for that. I'm on Instagram at The Rich Immigrant as well. And if you want to get to know more about my career side and my travel side, I'm on Instagram at Well-Worn Heels. And I have a blog about travel and career at wellwornheels.com. Otherwise, look me up on LinkedIn, Dio Laterum. Not the most active, but I'm there. So yeah, I think there are many places you reach me, but yeah, I'm here for our community.
International students would benefit so much from this. Thank you so much, Dee, for like sharing, you know, all of this good information. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We hope you have enjoyed it and it has been thought-provoking for you. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and leave us a comment on your thoughts and your own experience as it relates.